Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Well, Bill, you know, we've been at this for a while.
Yes, we have.
It was funny, I was listening to a program from 2011 that we did on wolves. So if you live in Northern California anywhere, you can, and you're out, I mean, in all seriousness, if you are out in the wilds, as it were, you can expect to encounter wolves coming in the future. They have, let's see, they've released 12 of them. I mean, what could go wrong, right? So we have 12 new wolves released in,
Plumas County?
Yeah, Plumas County. And they've gobbled up a bunch of cattle in Siskiyou County. They're going wild, like all.
Well, they're endangered, you know. They're probably.
Yeah, there's hardly any.
Yeah, they're hardly any.
So they have taken out a bunch of cattle in eastern Oregon. And the thing that I think most people are not aware of potentially is the diseases that they carry. So they don't have to bite you or lick you or any of those, but you do see hunters every now and then who will bag a wolf and you see them holding them up so they can see how big they are. Mm-hmm. You should never be in that close contact with them. They carry all sorts of heinous diseases, but they're transmitted easily to, other animals. And so if you're out hiking or doing whatever and you are, interacting with the same ground that wolves are on, you can very easily pick that stuff up.
There is some kind of weird disease they transmit.
Brucellosis. Yep. It's really bad. There's actually quite a bit of information. It's a really good book too. It's an easy read because it's done in interview fashion. And he interviewed a bunch of different people. He's a guy who thought wolves were going to be great, but he was an attorney. And his line of work was class action, big time chemical class action suits. So they did lots of research. That was something that was very, very common in their legal practice. So he put all of his legal experts into researching wolves and ended up writing a book called The Real Wolf. It's on our website, and I will put it on the page for today, just a link to it, but it's called The Real Wolf, and it's excellent. It's really very easy to follow. And just a hot tip for you. A lot of people who don't deal with this kind of thing think, oh, well, we'll just put collars on them and then we'll know where they are. The problem is the agencies that monitor those collars never release that information in real time because they don't want you to know where they are. And so you can't protect yourself from them. If you're a landowner, you have cattle or whatever, you can't know if they're near your cattle because they won't give you that information in real time. And when the collars are on, you have to catch them and change the batteries on a regular basis because the batteries go dead. Well, the more you catch them and handle them, the more habituated they become to humans. And that's when you find them. Like up in eastern Oregon, I was on a call with some folks last week, and the wolf was maybe 50 yards out, and the guy was shooting over its head, which technically – according to the Endangered Species Act, you're not supposed to do. But he was doing that because it was coming at him. He had kids and the whole thing. He's shooting over this animal's head. It's supposed to be a wild animal. Didn't even flinch. So it...
He must have been wearing tasty-looking clothing.
Yeah, he was covered with, I don't know, whatever whatever they like. So anyway, it's a real concern. So if you live near a forested area, if you spend time... out in those areas, you should really, really pay attention.
Well, 12 wolves is going to turn into a lot of wolves in a couple of years. I mean, they have big litters, and I don't know how many of the 12 were females, but...
Well, here it is. Historic move for wolf conservation. 12 collared gray wolves have been released in Northern California. Terrific. Marks the largest number of satellite collared wolves in the state, offering a new chance to monitor and protect these majestic creatures, aka apex predators. The project aims to provide crucial data on wolf populations, blah, blah, blah. They are both male and female. They come from three different packs. And bottom line is wolves are one of the only apex predators. So everybody thinks, oh, they're just going to live out in the wilderness and just only eat when they're hungry. No, wolves kill for three reasons. They attack. How about that? They don't always kill. So it's teaching, it's sport, and it's food. So a lot of times they will they'll maim animals, cattle, you know, wild animals. They just maim them. They don't eat them. They leave them. So they just mess them up enough to, so they die a slow, painful death or don't die at all and you have to put them down. But they'll do that for sport and to teach their young and sometimes for food. So anyway, it's something to be considered. So if you still think wolves are terrific, you should probably rethink that. And I will gather our programs and probably put a tab on the top of the webpage for you because it's fixing to become a problem, as they say. So moving on to South Africa with our guest, Dr. Harry Booyens.
Shaking things up in South Africa.
So for those of you who have not caught the shows with Harry Booyens before, well, I don't know where you've been, but what the heck. So we have a tab on the top of WeThePeopleRadio.us that says South Africa. So Dr. Harry Booyens is an internationally recognized multiple award-winning PhD defense and aerospace physicist, originally from South Africa. And I'm going to have to update this because it says here a 360-year bloodline in that country, but we've been talking to him for a while, so probably better change the number. He lives with his family on the forested slopes outside Vancouver, Canada. Watch out for the wolves. His life as a scientist exposed him to many of the realities of the Cold War and the period immediately following the fall of the Berlin Wall. It included interaction with the United States and British defense establishment. He applies his lifetime of research and interpretive skills to history and genealogy and writes with factual accuracy and engaging style on these subjects. But he's more fun to listen to. Although the reading is good, he's really fun to hear. Hard evidence is a trademark of his work and has won him a number of awards. He focuses on making Americans aware of what is happening in South Africa, the historic parallels between the two countries, and the warning that South Africa holds for Western civilization in general and the United States of America in particular. So with the advent of President Trump's election, there have been a lot of developments on the South African front, so we thought it would make perfect sense to have Dr. Harry Booyens pop on with us and give us his unique vantage point. It's all you, Harry.
Harry, how you doing?
Hi. I believe I hear the bull over there.
You hear the what?
I just got to check with you, Aaron. He's not been naughty, has he? I don't have to come and sort him out.
I've been behaving.
No, no, Bill. Bill's pretty even keel. He doesn't. He doesn't get out of the box that much.
Yeah.
I had him hauling bushes yesterday. He's kind of tired today.
Before I launch into anything on South Africa, I really have to tell you guys that I am so happy, not just for myself, but for you guys, that Kash Patel made it to being the chief of the FBI.
Yeah, that's going to be an exciting times coming. Yeah, we definitely needed a revamp there.
Does he ever know where all the bodies are buried?
Yeah, I think that was part of the angst. How about that?
I listened to part of the speech that President Trump gave. I think it was to CPAC?
Yes.
Yesterday. And it's noticeable that the loudest cheering was when he mentioned the appointment of or the confirmation of Kash Patel.
Yeah, that's a real game changer. Well, the fact that we have so many people who are not just the same old thing, you know, it's not just same old thing, different day. I think we'll do. You know, it'll go a long way to fixing some stuff.
Oh, the FBI definitely needs some rework there. And like you said, Harry, he knows where the issues lie, who they lie with, and I think he has a pretty good handle on how to fix it.
Well, it's like you look at Tom Homan with all the immigration stuff, and that is just starting, but. You know, I mean, we've been watching. Do you guys get that in your news up there? Have you seen Tom Homan over the last few years? speaking about the border? Is that not really in your?
No, one picks it up. But my comment is Tom Homan is like straight out of central casting for the ultimate cop, isn't he? I mean,
he is. That guy just has no written on his face. No. Like,
yeah, he's like the untouchable.
Like if he was your dad, you don't ask him for anything. It's just no.
It's like if he's the cop and he stops you in the road,
you
know,
just go get in his car and forget it.
I went too fast. I'm sorry.
You should just handcuff yourself and just go to jail.
Let me put it this way. I was stopped by two New York cops once because I'd inadvertently crossed a stop sign in the middle of a block.
Oh.
It wasn't at a crossroads, it was just a stop in the middle of the block.
Okay.
So they pulled me over and I turned down my window and I looked as nicely at them as I could and I said in my most perfect British impression, I said, "Good morning, officers. Have I committed some kind of offense?"
How'd that work out for you?
They let me go.
They were like, "Oh, it's some dope from England. We'll let him slide." Yeah, not Tom Homan, though.
They said, "Yes, sir. You went across a stop sign." I said, "I'm terribly sorry. I didn't see it." You know, and they let me go.
Nice.
Now, the reason I mentioned that is that if it had been Tom Homan stopping me at Tom Homan, I would have. I guess I would have turned down the window and I would have ducked down in front of my driver's seat or something.
Yeah. Brace for impact. He has brace for impact written all over his face. It's kind of, anyway, I mean, it's nice finally, you know, to have somebody who's really serious about law enforcement.
Yeah.
You know,
that situation, you know, it's completely untenable. And that is also how South Africa turned out the way it is now.
Just give up on the laws.
Yeah. And well, I can get back into it later, but there's a lesson on that subject from down there. Okay. I can tell you that back in 1976, I sat in the tea room of our physics department with my physics professor talking to my American lecturer. At the time he was teaching, and they were talking about illegal immigration in the U.S. and illegal immigration in South Africa and the parallels between them. 1976. Okay?
Wow.
So been there, done that, I know how it turns out in the end. South Africa, and why on earth are we talking about it? Somewhere way back in history, someone told me that when you're dealing with the American folks, be sure that you put the word America at every 1,000 words. You have to mention it once. And sorry, just messing with you guys. But otherwise, you lose their interest.
Oh, well. Okay. The other thing is that I never run into anybody who says, "Oh, yeah, I knew that South Africa had a lot of parallels with the U.S." No one knows that.
Nobody.
Well, most don't know where it is.
Well, there's that.
So you need to tell me if you need to take a break before we launch into things first.
We probably should. And unfortunately, I've got the shade up in the front, so now I can't see in the engineer's room. So she's waving at me. We're all good. All righty. So we'll take a little break. We are here with Dr. Harry Booyans. We're going to talk about South Africa. And there have been a lot of developments since President Trump was elected. So stay tuned. You'll find out what they are. And you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. And Bill makes it back to his chair in time. We'll be right back. Or we'll stay here and just keep talking. No, we're definitely taking a break. But there's no sound. Just me. stalling for
no,
time.
I'm here. I'm listening. I just don't have anything to say.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Say, the dreams on which I'm dying are the best I ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world. Mad world.
Didn't see, that's for all the people out there who didn't see the election of Trump coming.
they are
absolutely running in circles, and they do think the world has gone mad. You know, with the Department of Government Efficiency, it's not a real department. It's a short-term project, and Elon Musk is not elected because there is only one member of the executive branch who's elected. That's the president. So stop saying he's not elected. It just makes you sound like you failed civics. And you know, the other bit of it is he's an advisor to the president. So he's not an employee of the government. He's not getting paid. He is advising the president. So all the action that's being taken is being directed by the president. Presidents get lots of advisors. But somebody had actually our former sheriff sent me a text this morning. And it said that the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, should be renamed to the Federal Agency for Financial Oversight, which would make it FAFO. And that would have been a lot more fun. And I don't know why someone didn't think of that sooner. But, yeah, there's been a lot going on. And so with all of these, I mean, Dr. Bouillon's, it's only been a month. And I think President Trump has done more than Joe Biden did in 4 years.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's just been like a you know, people always say, like, it's like drinking from a fire hose. I'm like, I'm not sure what's bigger than a fire hose, but
yeah, really,
whatever that is. Like,
I mean, in just the first month, look what he's done.
Maybe like a hydraulic mining hose.
We got 4 years of this to look forward to.
I know, it's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
But so on the South African front, which is obviously something that, you know, a lot of us have missed because there's been so much going on. What are you seeing the ripple effect there?
Well, let me put it to you this way. Here in Canada, zero. But in South Africa, that government is running in what the Brits call square circles.
Yeah, they have
and
to be.
They, you know, their first reaction was sort of, how dare you? And he's misinformed and all kinds of stuff. But I thought, they slowly coming to the realization that they're going to have to do things differently. So we'll have to see how they ultimately react. But I was thinking I could read you the actual executive order that President Trump issued.
Oh, okay.
Because it's interesting. So let me just get it on my screen here. Where is it now? I clicked it. Why is it not showing? There you go, Microsoft. The wonders of Bill Gates. Okay. It says, executive order addressing egregious actions of the Republic of South Africa. Okay. And I woke up to this on Saturday morning the 8th. And my wife had stomped off to go and look at getting some coffee going. And I switch on the TV and I'm looking at this and my jaw drops. Okay. Because it says, in shocking disregard of its citizens' rights, the Republic of South Africa recently enacted Expropriation Act 13 of 2024 to enable the government of South Africa to seize ethnic minority Afrikaners' agricultural property without compensation. This act follows countless government policies designed to dismantle equal opportunity in employment, education, and business, and hateful rhetoric and government actions fueling disproportionate violence against racially disfavored landowners. That's pretty to the point.
Yes. Wow.
In addition, South Africa has taken aggressive positions towards the United States and its allies, including accusing Israel and not Hamas of genocide in the International Court of Justice and reinvigorating its relations with Iran to develop commercial, military, and nuclear arrangements. I should tell you about that nuclear bit. The United States cannot support the government of South Africa's commission of rights violations in its country or its undermining United States foreign policy, which poses national security threats to our nation, our allies, our African partners, and our interests. Section 2, policy. It is the policy of the United States that, as long as South Africa continues these unjust and immoral practices that harm our nation, A, the United States shall not provide aid or assistance to South Africa, semicolon, and B, the United States shall promote the resettlement of Afrikaner refugees escaping government-sponsored race-based discrimination, including racially discriminatory property confiscation. And then, just in case there's confusion, it goes to Section 3, assistance. All executive departments and agencies, including the U.S. Agency for International Development, you remember that one? USAID?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Shall, to the maximum extent allowed by law, halt foreign aid or assistance delivered or provided to South Africa and shall promptly exercise all available authorities and discretion to halt such aid or assistance. B, the head of each agency may permit the provision of any such foreign aid or assistance that, in the discretion of that agency, is necessary or appropriate. And then Section 4, if that still leaves any confusion, the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Homeland Security shall take appropriate steps consistent with the law to prioritize humanitarian relief, including admission and resettlement through the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program for Afrikaners in South Africa who are victims of unjust racial discrimination. That's all of them, because there's 142 wow. laws against white folks there. And it's used actively to particularly go after Afrikaners like myself. And then it goes on with the regular stuff that you would expect on an executive order. So Trump was quite clear. And as Catherine Levitt explains, he dots the I's and crosses the T's on each executive order. And he sometimes decides which letters should be capitalized. So it's not like he didn't know every word that went in here.
Harry, do you know what level of aid has been given to South Africa up to this point, and how is this going to impact them?
There's several hundreds of millions approaching a billion.
Mm. Well, that'll get their attention.
Yeah, and there's also, I don't want to burden your listeners with all kinds of complexities of Africa, but there's a thing that the U.S., I think the U.S. started it. It's called AGOA, which is the African, I don't know what it all stands for, but it's basically a preferential deal to help African countries, and it essentially removes tariffs for African countries to give them a leg up. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so if AGOA disappears, that's like 300 million right there. Now, hang on. I got to think for a moment. Are we talking $1 billion or $1 billion rand? You're going to have to just suspend judgment on that for a minute. I can't swear to things right now. But in South African terms, you're talking serious pain here. Let me put it to you. There is no way that ANC government can ignore this. Okay? They're already on TV saying, sorry, boys, we're bankrupt.
Oh, now, really?
On top of that, you have this. There's not except for the west of the country, there's not a road that is not potholed. There is not a light bulb that can stay on all day. The water is insecure, and the black people are terribly unhappy. But, fundamentally, humans tend to be racist, and so they vote for the ANC because it has black faces. And that's it. Sorry, but it's true. So what I wanted to do, having read you that executive order, I would like to take you back to an earlier event, and I know I'm always doing this. So this is 22 August 2018, and you guys may remember me talking about this. This was a tweet from President Trump in 2018, and he said, I have asked the Secretary of State, Secretary Pompeo, to closely study the South Africa land and farm seizures and expropriations and the large-scale killing of farmers. South African government is now seizing land from white farmers. And then he put at Fox News and at Tucker Carlson behind it. Okay. So this thing of President Trump comes quite a distance. So forgive me if I'm a supporter of President Trump. Forgive me if I was dejected as all hell when they messed up that 2020 election. But I have my own, I don't know what to call it, emotional take on this. And that is, I've told my friends that no help ever seemed on the horizon for us. It seemed like everyone just wants us dead. All other nations get talked about, whether it's the Rohingyas or the folks in the west of China, or it's the Kurds or whoever, but never us. We never count. And so I told them, I think finally God sent his imperfect angel. And his name is not Gabriel. Mm. His name is Donald.
Yeah. Well, another thing that is not talked about a lot in regards to South Africa is their cozy relationship with Russia.
Yeah, and I can wax lyrically about that. That includes military exercises mm-hmm. off the coast of South Africa with Russia. And it includes, I don't have it at hand here immediately, but I can find it again. There's an extensive list of transgressions by South Africa, including a known, I think it's the Lady R or something like that, is a Russian freighter that suddenly went dark as it went past Cape Town. Stayed dark for several hours, and then suddenly it appeared on the log systems again, some distance east of Cape Town. Well, it was spotted in the night loading and offloading things at a port near Cape Town, and everyone in South Africa is convinced that was weapons. Mm-hmm. It is also true that there's something, or this is what several writers maintain, is that there's around 750 kilograms, that would be roughly 3/4 of a ton, of enriched uranium left over from the South African atomic bomb effort that was shut down in 1980. And I had a little bit of exposure peripherally to that, not through my own activities, but purely through a visitor. And there's some of that stuff left, and folks are concerned that South Africa is supplying that to Iran.
Nice.
So let me put this bluntly. I know that it's the country where I was born. I still love it to death. It's a wonderful place. It is such a God-rending pity that that government is there. It's a greater pity that people like Bill Clinton help them to be there with money. It's a pity that USAID money has been used to prop up that government. It's a rank communist one, as you can see, and I'll explain later why I say that. And I have been warning that it is an enemy of yours. You need to understand. The U.S. has a remarkable inability to tell friend from foe. It never ceases to amaze me. You know, and in a certain sense, John Stewart was right way back in 2003 when he said, we only got one letter wrong, you know, talking about Iran and Iraq.
Yeah.
So there's a long history of that, and it's not as though you're alone. The Brits made the same mistakes in South Africa back in 1803 and lost half the colony as a result of that. So what I'm trying to say is that this thing comes quite a distance with President Trump. It's not as though somebody has now suddenly wrongly informed him. Back in 2018, the president of the country, who's still the president of South Africa, he had something to say about that. He went on Bloomberg, and here's what he said, and I hope this is going to transmit correctly, so tell me if it makes horrible sounds and things. But I'm going to play a clip and hope.
Nope. Just quietness.
And our end is all good.
How about we take a quick break, since it's the right time anyway, and then we'll see if we can't get his sound file to come through.
I conclude you didn't hear that at all.
No, it was downright silent. So hold on 5 seconds, and we'll talk to you while the commercial break is playing. So you are listening to We the People. Our guest is Dr. Harry Booyans. And you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I can't do everything, but I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with them.
Upside down.
Upside down.
Yep.
Okay, Harry, you want to try to play your clip? I don't know what happened last time, but we got silence.
I have no explanation for this, for those of a technical bent. All I can say is I play the clip. It goes into my mixer. The mixer shows it's running. It goes to my... my interface that goes into the computer to talk to Skype.
Oh.
The interface says, I'm happy.
Christina said to send it to her and she'll play it. Can you send it to her through the chat here on our Skype?
Okay, so let me see how do
well,
I
we,
do that.
Well, we talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah,
shoot her the link. There's more than one way to skin a cat. Look at all these. Look, well, Christina's not old. She's young, but I was going to say, look at all these old people doing technology.
I'm an old soul.
Yes. Oh, okay. You want to be an old soul? You want to just fit in?
Unfortunately, I am. I can do nothing with it.
Hitting your senior stride early.
Can I send this in the chat?
Yeah, sure. Somehow? Why not?
How do I do that?
I don't know.
Just copy the link and paste it in where say type a message, and we'll play it in our end.
I got a collection of MP3s. That's what I got.
Deal. That's also you can drag them and put them
in the chat.
Yes, just like a regular photo. Oh. Now non-technologies are helping us.
Yeah, this was kind of like when my mom was in cellist, and she was responsible for sending the symphony notes to the other people in the symphony, and so she needed me to show her how to send an attachment over the phone. That was an hour and a half. I could never get back. I really miss her, and so maybe it was a great hour and a half. But I actually was supposed to be on a conference call. I literally had a headset in one ear and one in the other ear. And did both at the same time, but this has been markedly faster.
Okay. So
hit it, Harry.
I'm giving
oh, no, Christina.
Them in the sequence that I think we should play them.
Okay.
So the first one is Ramaphosa. That's the president. And this is him in 2018 after President Trump's first tweet in his life about South Africa.
On the tweet itself, he was clearly misinformed. And whoever gave him that information was completely wrong. There are no killings of farmers or white farmers in South Africa. There's no land grab in South Africa. We are involved in a process of discussing land reform. Land was the original sin in the history of South Africa. We are seeking to put right what was done wrong.
Hmm. Yeah, I believe that.
Right. So that's the president. Now, first mistake is to use the word misinformation or misinformed with a guy like Donald Trump. Of all the people on God's little green earth, it is the one man you should never use those words with for very good legal reasons. Okay? It's right up there with shooting a bullet through his ear. And for the same reasons, had the same effect, right? Russian disinformation, misinformation. Now, if there was any lack of clarity as to what was going on in South Africa at that time and is still going on, if you could possibly play the next clip, which should say Malema, here is the leader of the third biggest political party, used to be the youth leader of Ramaphosa's own party. This is him on a huge stage in a sports stadium as big as the biggest you've got. And they got the people not just filling the stands, but filling the actual playground of the field itself. And he's on a makeshift stage. He's dancing. And here is what he's doing. So if you could play that one, Malema.
Shoot to kill, Hamaza, kill the poor, the farmer, kill the poor, the farmer, brr, pa.
Something bonkers is happening in South Africa. A major political movement drawing stadiums of tens of thousands of people has as its organizing principle the killing of white people. Julius Malema, the head of the Economic Freedom Fighters, openly chants, kill the Boer, kill the farmer. It's not just rhetoric. This is a man who's made a career out of hate-mongering, singing songs about killing white farmers, and advocating for the seizure of land without compensation. His words aren't just provocative. They are a clear call to genocide.
I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I'm saying to you, we've not called for the killing of white people, at least for now. I can't guarantee the future.
Most aspiring political leaders should at least be able to rule out genocide, I would think. And even more unsettling is the fact that the crowds continue to listen to Malema and espouse his hateful ideology. None other than Elon Musk, the South African-born tech mogul, is calling out this madness. Musk didn't just post on X. He launched a full-blown orbital strike on Malema, calling him a genocidal lunatic. Seems the only thing more explosive than Musk's rockets might be his tweets about the South African political landscape. President Trump, fed up with the situation, has just announced he's cutting off aid to South Africa. That's right, no more American dollars for a country that seems to be flirting with the idea of genocide under Malema's watch and under his growing influence. Trump's move signals a stark message. America won't fund regimes that echo the darkest chapters of history. During my time in Congress, I had one staff member who was sounding the alarm on this very issue a year ago this month. Listen to my former legislative counsel, John Wilson, on my podcast, sharing the risk of this danger.
We know exactly what they mean by decolonize, and we need to take them at their word. They mean murder and displace, and that's what they're trying to do to the Boers and the farmers in South Africa, and I don't foresee any globalist institution condemning that.
Okay, that's the story.
That's pretty straightforward. It's really nice when they say the quiet part out loud, because then
it's kind of hard to deny.
Yeah.
Guys, what you need to understand that party, this is hubris, and they are so they have such a level of hubris coursing through their veins that they believe they can confess anything and everything. And as their lips flap, so the history comes out, and you find out who did what, when, why, how, and with whom. Okay? It's bloodlust, pure and simple. Okay. So, they keep on doing this, and they keep on providing, you know, evidence for guys like me. It's kind of difficult to get past that. That, Aaron, was your absolutely favorite candidate for Attorney General Matt Gaetz.
And he's turned out to be so amazing. You know, it's funny. I just always had that guy pegged a long time ago. I had no proof of it, but it just, there's something about the guy. And the longer it's gone, the more that's come out. It's like, huh, well.
Well, you know, from where I sit, I hear you. I respect all of that. I understand it, and it's probably good that he possibly didn't get the job. But as long as he transmits this stuff, he's going to get my help.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he never could have been confirmed. He's been showing members of Congress photos of himself with underage girls for years, and now that's all been made public. So, oops.
Okay. So
speaking of hubris.
So now connecting it back to the story. So I've sketched you 2018. I've sketched you what happened after 2018. I have, you now know Malema, the guy who's dancing on the stage saying, let's kill him. But it goes much further back than that. The next clip, it says Mandela Amabulu. You can hear, you know, the America's most beloved hero outside the country. Mandela, the guy who's been dressed up to you folks as being an angel who sits at the right hand of God, who walks on water, could do no wrong, and is in general an angel of peace and mercy. Okay? I want you to listen to the following short clip. This is him at the day of the dissolution of the military wing of that ANC government. In 1990, before they assumed power, the agreement was that they would stop their military wing. Please let the record reflect that the man who created that military wing was someone called Rolihlahla Mandela, otherwise known as Nelson Mandela. He got the job to create that military wing. So, they're standing in a bundle. All the TV of the world is there. He's been released from jail, or he had been released from jail recently, just before, and now he's dissolving his military wing that he himself had created. And I want you to hear what they're singing, and then I'm going to decode it, and we may have to play it a second time so you can listen for the words. But first, just hear them. Mandela Amabulu. So there you go. There you go. And the words that I trust you heard were Bulala Amabulu. They sang it twice, so you can be sure to hear it. Maybe Aaron or Bill, you got to tell me, do you recall hearing that in that clip twice?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just now? I don't remember you playing this one before, though.
Yeah, I've played it before.
Okay.
So it's Bulala Amabulu. Do you know what that means?
No.
Bulala means kill.
Oh, well, there you go.
And Amabulu means the Bura, the very guys that Malema's singing about. That's me. Any white guy in South Africa. We're all called Amabulu.
Oh.
What happens with the Nguni black languages is that they use the prefix Ama to mean the people. Like they use the term Amabenzi to describe people with Mercedes Benzes who are rich and chase around town. So they call them the Amabenzi. So it's a cool way that they have of handling things, you know. They just, if they got like a concept, they put the word Ama in front, and that means the people who do this or who have this or are like this or whatever. Whatever word you choose, stick Ama in front, and you, that's the nation. That's the group you're targeting. And so they couldn't say the word Bura as the Afrikaners do, so they said it's Bulu. Amabulu, farmers. The word boer in Dutch means farmer. No deeper than that. That's it. It just means farmer. So he's singing, we're going to, sorry, I should explain that way back when the word Amabulu was first conceived, all the people, all the whites that the black people knew were farmers. It was the only thing you met on the eastern front of the country was a farmer. So to them, white people were farmers. They were Amabulu. So the word has stuck, and today they are still called Amabulu. That's why my book is called Amabulu.
It's so funny. So, you must have told this. You told us this a while ago, and we slept and forgot.
So this is not new. This much exalted hero of the left in the U.S. sang that in 1990 already. They sang it long before that, but that's the case that was recorded. There you heard it. It's on YouTube. You can find it. So that's the history behind this stuff. Okay? So the next clip I've got there is a farmer by the name of Duncan Prinsloo. Prinsloo is a very common Afrikaans surname. And Duncan lost his wife in a farm attack, and he was very, very badly hurt. He was shot in the back. And so the clip called Duncan Prinsloo, it's kind of self-explanatory. He's standing on a rugby field kind of place with a microphone, and he's talking to the general population. He's obviously very hurt. This goes back some years. The attack took place in 2009, November, I believe. So maybe you just want to hear what the reaction is of a typical South African farmer who's been attacked and has lost his family.
Oh, it looks like we have to run away for the news. I dropped the ball.
Okay.
We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.